ask that you be in prayer for me as I stand before you today. I've got a question for you. How long has God known His children? How long have they been His children? Most of you in here received the text that I send out every day, the verses, and sometimes they have a lead up to what we're going to talk about on Sunday. Sometimes that's the case. God chose Israel as His chosen nation. For what purpose? To make them His children? Don't think so. He chose them to set His name upon them. And He didn't choose them because they were the best, or the most mighty, or the most in number. They were the fewest in number. God did that for His own glory. And they were blessed because of His choice. They were blessed beyond measure with the best government that this world has ever had. Civil government that this world has ever seen. He blessed them with the understanding of the creation, with the Old Testament, what we would call Old Testament to them, it was just the Torah or the law. He gave them the best understanding of how to conduct their natural lives as far as cleanliness. He blessed them with what to do when they were sick. I mean, if you read Leviticus, it talks about medical stuff in there. About boils that have a hair, black hair, white hair in it, and if it's got, if it's runny or if it's dry, I'm telling you, it's very intricate in what God's instructions were for His people. And it was a blessing to them because before that, no, and people didn't know what all that was. God revealed to them how to be blessed. And not only that, He instituted a system for them to worship Him. So when Paul says, what advantage then hath the Jew? And he answers his own question. It says, much in every way, for unto them were committed the oracles of God. They had the prophets that gave them words from God and understanding. And what did they do? What did they do with it? They did with it throughout their history up until now. About the same thing that they did with it right after they crossed the Red Sea. They hardened their hearts. They provoked God. They murmured. They complained. And they paid for it. Didn't make them children of God. Didn't make them not children of God. But they were judged for their disobedience, and they were blessed for their obedience. They were God's chosen people. And then throughout their history, you see the times when, like in Joel, and he says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, call a solemn assembly, assemble the elders, and let the gather the children that suck the paps and everybody in between, and let the priest cry between the tabernacle and the altar." He said, "You call a fast, and you call a solemn assembly," and he read to them. I think it might have been him. He read to them for days, hours, all day long, from the morning till the evening, and the people sat there and listened to it. And they repented at the word of God being read. And when they repented, they were blessed. God told them that. He told them that in Deuteronomy, didn't he? I believe it was chapter 7. He said, "If I send a pestilence and a wasting, then if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, heal their land." Conditional things. Conditional based upon their actions and their manner of life. And if we're not careful, I don't want to jump ahead too far, but we can get in the same boat of legalism that they got. What did they do with that law? They began to trust in it for righteousness, didn't they? They forgot about the faith of Abraham, didn't they? You go back to the whole, all of Romans and Galatians and many other places where Abraham is spoke of. It talks about the faith that Abraham had way before the law was given. Right? Way before the law was given. Remember, Abraham was before the children of Israel even were in existence. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had the 12 sons. We're talking about the faith of Abraham. Way before God's chosen people. Way before He chose that nation to put His name there and bless them in the earth. And you know, the Bible talks about them and talks about the be not like them, because they provoked God and they fell in the wilderness because of it. And what was their sin? What was their sin? Unbelief was their sin. Unbelief was their biggest problem. Unbelief God meant what He said, and they didn't believe that He meant what He said, I guess. You ever get that way? I do. You ever have unbelief? And don't believe that God really means what He says? I do. I think that us as a people are generally have a hard time with believing that God is going to do what He said He was going to do. I'm talking about Christian folk. I'm getting ahead of myself still. What happened to those, to Israel, they were split and they had all kind of problems, and they were in the northern and the southern kingdom, and their tribes split, and some of them went over Jordan, some of them stayed back. They kept on having splits and splits and splits and all that. And then finally it got to the point where God had sent them prophets and said, look, you repent and you do this and you do that. The burden of the word of the Lord, the burden of all this, burden of Samaria, the burden of Jacob, the burden of all these things. All these prophets keep on sending the people of God the word from God, and the people of God didn't repent with at the word of God. And sometimes they did. Then it got to the point where God stopped giving them a word. They still had the blessings of God as far as the law and the history. But God stopped talking to them. You know how long God stopped talking to them? For 400 years. 400 years. From Malachi to Matthew, no prophet. No word from God. And then Jesus came on the scene, and y'all know the story. He came unto his own, and his own did what? They received him not. But some of them did. And what did he do to those that did? To them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born, these are the people, clarifies who he's talking about, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So he took that chosen nation of Israel that had rejected him, and he gave the blessings of his word to the Gentiles. They were so strong about it that the Apostle Paul told the Jews when he preached the gospel to them, and they got mad at him for doing it, that the Apostle Paul told them, he says, seeing yourselves are unworthy, that you judge yourself as unworthy of eternal life, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. God opened it up to the Gentiles on the day when Peter preached to Cornelius. Y'all remember that story? Why did God take it away from the Jews and give it to people like me and you? Why did he do that? I mean, they were his chosen nation. Paul said in chapter 10 of Romans, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He wasn't talking about being saved from hell to heaven, about worried about children of God getting to heaven. He wasn't worried about that. And I'm not worried about that either. You know why? Because I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that His blood was sufficient to get me there, to get you there. Paul's not talking about that. Paul's talking about their ability to see Christ as He ought to be seen. And not trusting in the law for righteousness, He says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to them that what? Believe. Did y'all know that unbelief is spoken of so many times in the Scriptures, and it's never good? I mean, to my knowledge, it's not good when it talks about unbelief. Then in chapter 11, he starts out, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. He didn't cast them away. But what did he do? He took the blessings of having his name placed upon them to be proclaimed in the earth. And he gave the blessings of his presence to sinners like me and you. This is some really serious stuff. And you know what? It's so bad that God caused blindness to come on them. Darkness of perception. God did it. Why did he do that? That through their unbelief, we might believe. He talks about that later in Romans 11. But still, I'm getting ahead of myself. He says in verse 8, or verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber. Eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. You know why you have the gospel today? It's because God blessed you. It's because there was a people that didn't uphold his name in the earth. It's because there was a people that rejected him. It says that there was a people that despised him. There was a people that took him and spit on him. There were people that reviled him. They did not recognize him as God, their Savior, manifest in the flesh. Who all the prophets talked about. All the scriptures that they had spoke about him. They were pointing to him. And yet they did not realize it. They did not want to, even though the evidence was very clear. And we have it to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if we've got the gospel, you think we can lose it? You think God will take it away from us? Paul says, Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Talking about the Jews. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them, that's jealousy, them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Paul still wanted some of the Jews to take, you know, to be saved, to recognize Christ, to confess Christ. He says, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Then he talks about being cut off and grafted in. That I hope this is not boring y'all today. I really do. This is very serious. I mean, it's serious for us today. Because we've got to realize that the reason that the Jews lost it was because of unbelief. And you know what? We were grafted in as a wild olive tree into that branch and into that whole tree that we might receive nourishment from the Father, from the Lord, Him being the root, see? And they were cut off. No nourishment. Were they grafted in to be children of God? How long has God known His people? Since before the foundation of the world. Were they grafted in to be His children? No. They were grafted in because they were given the blessings of the gospel. He cut them off. He didn't cut them off from being His people, His chosen children from before the foundation. He didn't cut them off from that. He cut them off from the blessings of His presence and the blessings of carrying His name and proclaiming His name throughout the earth, in the earth. But the Apostle Paul gets pretty stout down here. He says, and if some of the branches were broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Don't boast against the ones that have been cut off. Don't say those Jews don't have it. We got it. They don't have it. They don't have it because they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're doing. If I was a Jew back in those days, I would have readily took Christ. I would have seen Him. I think I would have been one of the Romans. If I was a Jew, I'd have been in that temple just having my phylacteries broad and having my prayers loud on the street corners, just like they did. Boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, boast in this, that you don't bear the root, but the root bears you. If you're going to boast, you boast in that fact. Not in how good you are, but every blessing you have, you receive from the root, which is Jesus Christ. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Paul says, yep, they were. Well, why were they broken off? Paul says, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Take heed, lest he also not spare thee. I'm going to tell you what. We're in the same position today that the Jews were in those 400 years of silence, I think. In that we have a nation full of people. And every day that goes on, the name of Christ and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is becoming less and less influential, less and less prominent, and more ridiculed in the culture. I expect that from the world. I do. I expect Satan to do all he can to undermine the church of God and to undermine the name of Christ in his world, in the world of the ungodly. I expect that. You know what I don't expect? I don't expect his people to be ashamed of him. But it seems to indicate that that's the way that it's going. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. You know, God's holy. He's good and severe all at the same time. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness. If you don't, he'll be severe. We don't like that part, do we? We'd like to hear the part that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. He did for me what I could not do for myself, and I'm going to be living with him in glory one day. I like to preach that too. God knows I like to preach it. But what we've got under consideration here is right now. What we've got under consideration is being blessed with the presence of God in this world. How could you get along without God? Oh, I want you to imagine getting along without God in this world. Without His presence. Without His direction. Without being blessed by God. If God withdrew His face, it would just be like our sun and our solar system drying up and being extinguished. We'd cease to exist. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. Do y'all believe that God would take his blessings away from the Gentiles. I'm not just talking about the United States. I'm talking about the Gentiles. Do you think he could take it away? He took it away from his chosen people and give it to you. He can take it away just as fast. Why will he take it away? Unbelief. And they also, talking about the Jews, if they abide not still in unbelief, God shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. How important is belief? For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? How much easier would it be for them to come on in? Be pretty easy. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Where are we today in this country? We're conceited, aren't we? That blindness, in part, has happened to Israel. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. I used to think that was talking about the last day of promise. I don't anymore. I believe that means that when the gospel has come to fruition, and a salient or a leveled out fullness among the Gentiles, when it's run its course. When the Gentiles quit praising God in the earth, God's going to take away that blindness. And I think at that time, He'll just come on back and everybody will see Him. And so all Israel shall be saved. He's talking about all Israel that's not of Israel. As it is written, there shall come out a sign, the deliverer shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, that's what we got under consideration. They are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Aren't you glad of that? Now, do you believe God means what He says? We've got real examples of this scripturally, and you can see it with your own eyes. What did He tell all those churches in Asia? What did He tell them? I mean, these are gospel churches now. We're not talking about Israelites and working on Judaism. We're not talking about that. We're talking about gospel churches. Churches that name the name of Christ. What did He tell them? Almost every one of them. He says, you're doing a little, but if you don't repent of the things that's lacking, I'll take my candlestick away, just like I did from the Jews. Not only will He do that to individual churches, He'll do it to countries. He'll do it to cultures. But He'll send it somewhere else. Has He done that before? Many times. Yeah, I was in the airport one time, and I really wanted to talk to. It was in Amsterdam. I was in the airport. And y'all, if y'all have never seen an Orthodox Jew, I'm sure you've seen TV pictures of them or something, and them on TV where they have the hat and the long ringlets and curls that come down, and the beard and I don't know what they call it, that they're in their traditional dress or Orthodox dress out in public. I saw a group of these guys, and I'm going to tell you what, it was striking to the eye. It was. It made me want, I wanted to go up and talk to him. He was unapproachable, I felt like. That he would never talk to me. I don't know that that was the case because I was too afraid to talk to him, but and he had his Bible or had the law, had the Torah, and he was carrying it around. Y'all, I wanted to talk to him so bad I could taste it. I wanted to ask him all kind of questions about the Old Testament, about the law, and about how he was going to get to heaven. You know what? I was so afraid to approach him. I wondered, look at what legalism does. It makes you follow a prescribed system of worship, and it sets you up to be better than other people on an hierarchy. You know, like rungs on a ladder. I'm higher than you. And I knew in his eyes I wasn't very high, so I didn't figure he'd even talk to me. But you know what? I want you to look at the Christian religions of today and see if any of them fit that mold. And I want you to think about you, me, us. In terms of, are we enjoying the blessings that God has provided to us every day? Do we even thank Him for His presence? I'm going to talk about myself for a second. Or do we just skate through daily? And maybe not even pray. Not read His Word. Not even think about things in terms of whether it's the Spirit leading me to do this or whether it's anything else. Not even thinking about God. If you don't think about God, what are you thinking about? I know there are things that we have to do. My goodness, I spent about 16 hours yesterday in my chair on my computer working and getting all my stuff for the end of the year done. I'm going to tell you, I didn't think about God yesterday much. It ought not to be that way. I think we, I need to fear that if I don't start appreciating, and you know, that disobedient and high-minded, that's talking, you know what that disobedient there word means and where he talks about the disobedient and high-minded but fear? That disobedience there, it comes from our word. I mean, the Greek word apatheo is where we get our word apathy or apathetic. But apathetic doesn't encompass everything. It's more of an active apathy. I think we need to, when I say we, I mean me, but I mean everybody, all of us. And I'm not talking about just all of us. I'm talking about Christians, those that name the name of Christ. Need to get off the fence and start living what you've been given by God, because He can take it away. I didn't mean to be so hard, but the doors of the church are open for reception of members. May the Lord bless us this week to spend time in devotion to Him. Spend time in prayer and reading His Word and appreciating His Gospel. May the Lord bless you.